Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the PFN Miami Dolphins Sports Podcast. I am your co-host, Doll Freaky, here with Adam Beasley with all of the updates from the week. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Hi, Adam. How are you?
Allie, how's your week been?
It's been good. It's been busy work-wise, not so busy dolphin-wise, so that, I guess that's kind of good and bad. We needed a little break after the last couple of weeks, but yeah, I stay busy. So how about you?
Yeah, no, it's certainly it's not what it was last week. Last week was totally bonkers, insane. We'll go through, you know, get everyone caught up as to all their comings and goings, but it's, you know, take a deep breath, get through this second week of free agency. The owners' meetings are next week. I'm going up to Orlando Sunday. I'll be there Sunday through Tuesday. And then after that, we're really all in on the draft. And the draft, yeah. I think it's like 5 weeks from tomorrow. Like it is right around the corner.
I know. I was just realizing, I'm like, I'm planning to go. I have my flight and everything. I got to book my hotel. I'm like, now time is of the essence. Let's go.
So you are going to the draft. How many years has this been for you now?
Yeah, so I didn't go last year, but I did go to the one in Vegas, and it was awesome. So I said after last year, you know, not being able to go, I was like, I'm never missing another draft again. So here we go. We're starting the streak now.
From a fan's perspective, what's the highlight of going to the draft?
You know what? I think for me, it's, you know, it's seeing these young guys having their dreams coming true right before your eyes. You know, you see the families, you see, you know, the players milling about, you see the discussions that are going on. And then not only that, but you see fans, you know, from all over the NFL. And that's what I personally love. Like, I love, you know, meeting up with other fans and seeing, you know, what people are expecting of their teams this year. You know, obviously it's like a big party and, you know, that's a big, you know, part of it. But also, you know, like I said, just being able to see like the gravity of this event for these players is just so extreme. And I really enjoy it.
You've been to Detroit before?
No, I haven't. So I'm excited to explore the city.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's weather should be all right in late April. I've been there in the wintertime. Yeah. I actually spent Christmas in Detroit. Okay. My wife and I had to go when FIU was in at the time, Little Caesars Pizza Bowl at Ford Field in Detroit. Christmas Day in Detroit. Weather's going to probably be better in April than it was in December.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's no Vegas or, you know, maybe even Kansas City, but there's a lot of history there. So I'm looking forward to getting into the museums and, you know, going around town, having some good eats. And I have a couple friends who are from Detroit, so they gave me like all kinds of different things to do. So it'll be a fun packed weekend. I can't wait.
Greektown Casino, if you want to make a wager. Is,
okay, I'm writing it down. Okay. So,
before we get to the draft, we kind of have to close the book on free agency, right? I mean, now it's not going to end. You're going to get, you know, signings trickle in here and there. You're going to have a bunch of signings after the draft. And then maybe some during during training camp as well. But like the bulk of the team now is kind of in place. Like they'll probably get roster additions to the 2024 roster, maybe 4 or 5, 6 max. Between now and the start of the, you know, final cutdowns, at least there'll be guys that they claim off of waivers, but like the team is kind of set. And, you know, they have the 21st pick, they have the 55th pick. Those two players are expected to make an impact for the Dolphins. But beyond that, it's a bunch of day three picks. Maybe they add someone after, you know, May 1, when the compensatory formula kind of opens up for them, maybe after June 1, when that Xavier Howard money frees up, but really by and large, Allie, the teams are basically set. Now, if you're a team that needs a quarterback, you're going to get one in the draft. That can change your fortunes, but that's not the Dolphins. The Dolphins really are going to add complementary pieces from here on out. And I think that's, to be honest, a testament to the
position
good job
to be in.
Yeah, real good position to be in. They're, you know, people are writing them off like the sky is falling. And certainly the first day of free agency stunk for them. That was a really bad day to lose so many cornerstone pieces. But I kind of have to give Chris Kreer a little bit of credit here that they've worked, they've made chicken salad out of chicken bleep, right? I mean, they've done what they could with limited options financially. So let's just go through real quick the players that they've lost, players they've added, the players still floating out there, and the players that they've retained. Let's talk about the guys they've re-signed that were free agents. Zaya Wynn, Braxton Berrios, Jake Bailey, Nick Needham, Robert Jones, Elijah Campbell, Savon Ahmed, and Deshaun Hand. I think of that group, Allie, certainly Wynn's going to be battling for a starting job. Berrios is going to be their kick returner. Nick Needham may be their number 4, 3 or 4 corner. Robert Jones has a chance of being a starting offensive lineman. So I think they did a good job of hanging on to what they could of a bunch of really kind of just avalanche of free agent players that they had that were hitting the market.
Yeah. Yeah. What did we start with? Like 29 free agents, 27, 29. It's insane. So yeah, it's good to see these guys back. I think especially like Berrios, I know he was a big, you know, fan favorite as well. You can just see like the grit that this guy has, you know, he has the drive to win and work and all that sort of thing. I mean, they all do. So that's good to see that they were able to bring them back. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no. So that's the players that they were able to retain that were free agents. They've lost plenty. We talked about that before. Christian Wilkins, one of the most highest paid defensive players in the history of the league. They weren't going to be able to match that with the situation they were in financially. Mm-hmm. Robert Hunt, those two guys alone, nearly $50 million of cap charges. I think Greer was wise to kind of hold back his fire a little bit because they had so many other needs. Yeah, you're going to lose those two, but on the flip side, you're going to get comp picks from them next year. Andrew Van Ginkel, that's the one we can start to kind of quibble about, and we can get into that in a second. Deshaun Elliott signed well elsewhere. Brandon Jones is gone. Raekwon Davis and Cedric Wilson Jr. None of those other names after Van Ginkel really worry me too much. I think they, at the very least, had a, you know, stayed the same, maintained, if not improved, with the Jordan Poyer pickup at safety. Mm-hmm. Nose tackle, Raekwon Davis is gone. He wasn't really a playmaker for them. And they brought in, or they brought back, actually, Benito Jones. Yeah, blast from the past. Mm-hmm. And the rest, Cedric Wilson. I mean, certainly he made a contribution to the team this past year, but you're not going to win or lose games because you lost Cedric Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah, it seems like they did make pretty quick work of the, you know, the players that we were losing. They quickly replaced with, you know, potentially better players. So that's exciting to see. Definitely, you know, big name Jordan Poyer. You know, we talked about him before, and it's exciting, you know, obviously to take advantage of snatching him from the Bills, as well as Saron Neal. You know, so those were two good pickups that we got from Buffalo. You know,
yeah, it's always good to mm-hmm. benefit from your rival's demise, right?
Yeah. We're going to get into that in a little bit as well.
Yeah. So, you know, of that group, I think you're going to see a totally new defense, probably scheme and personnel wise. Poyer is going to start for sure. Shaq Barrett is an interesting case study. I wrote about him today at PFN. Certainly is not the player that led the league in sacks 19 and a half. When was that? 2019, I think, mm-hmm. a few years back. He's actually 2 years now removed from his own Achilles surgery. He tore his around Halloween of 2022, which, you know, the timelines with him and Jalen Phillips are kind of interesting. Like, Phillips was a month later, but Barrett was able to come back and play a full 17 games in 2023 after tearing his Achilles. What would it have been 11 months before? If they can get that, or even just still 14, 15 games out of Phillips, that's great. And I think if there's something to be encouraged with Barrett's rehab, it's this. Like, he's not that guy he was before. He's almost 32 years old, I think. But it wasn't like he fell off a cliff to start the season. Like, he had, I think, four of his 4.5 sacks were in the first half of the season. They had a bunch of quarterback hits, pressures early on. So if you're looking for, like, hey, what do you think we're going to get out of Phillips early on in the season? I think Barrett's a pretty encouraging case study.
Yeah, I think it's pretty encouraging too, because they're saying, you know, now that the recovery times are even faster now for Achilles and ACL, you know, thanks to modern medicine. And we know that we have one of the state-of-the-art rehab, you know, facilities and, you know, training facilities. So that is very encouraging. And I know most fans would love to have Phillips back, you know, game one. We know we have to be patient and, you know, not rush the process. But same thing with Bradley Chubb. You know, we'd love to have them at the start of the season. So I guess we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, some backstory. You've been to the training facility a bunch. I go there almost every day during the football season.
Yeah.
The Baptist built their sports medicine, not hub, but a big piece of their sports medicine plan is on the grounds of Miami Dolphins Stadium, like Hard Rock Stadium property. And, like, literally it's 50 feet from one door to the other. So, yeah, you couldn't ask for a better setup for these players that are going through a rehab. I'll tell you one player that's not going through a rehab, and that's Kendall Fuller. And I think the sky is the limit for that secondary. I wrote about it as well this week. Look, Kendall Fuller, huge steal. May have been the steal of free agency. I think his $8.25 million a year AAV is what he got in a 2-year deal. That is a big savings over what Xavier Howard would have been.
Yeah.
And he's still, like, I think in the prime of his career. And what's really encouraging about him, Allie, is that he can play a bunch of positions. Jalen Ramsey can play a bunch of positions. Kader Kohou can play a bunch of positions. Nick Needham can play a bunch of positions. So if you're Anthony Weaver now, you have all these chess pieces that you can kind of throw out at these offenses. And there are times that they could have four, if not five, cornerbacks on the field at the same time. Some can play safety, some can play nickel, some can play dime. So it's going to give them a ton of options schematically to really match up. And I think Kendall Fuller really unlocks what they're able to do.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. And, you know, previous, he has a Super Bowl ring, you know, with the Chiefs, you know, not too long ago, you know, very solid pickup from the Commanders. So we're excited to see what we'll get out of Fuller.
And I think the linebackers deserve some shine too, because they lost Jerome Baker, who actually is still a free agent. Him, X, Emmanuel Ogba, and Keon Crossing are actually all still free agents, which is kind of surprising after getting cut. but Jordan Brooks is in, Anthony Walker Jr. is in. You pair them with David Long. And I don't think Walker should be seen as some throwaway piece. I mean, he's probably not going to be their leading snap getter. He might not even be number two. He's probably going to be number three behind Brooks and Long. But you look at what they have now, again, flexibility, a ton of starts between the three of them. Walker is a team captain for the Browns last year. He had the green dots, so he made the calls in the huddle. Like, he's a good piece. So I think, like, I'm worried if you have concerns, and I have concerns about this defense, it's the front four, right? Because they have not sufficiently replaced Wilkins. We can get into the guys they brought in. And Sealer is going to need to continue to play like he did last year. And those edges and Chubb and Phillips, we'll see how quickly they come along. But the back six, seven, five, six, seven, whatever you want to call it, I think they can match up with any team in the league with their versatility, with their athleticism. Maybe they get something out of Cam Smith this year. I think this defense is underrated, might be the word. Certainly, I think they have a higher ceiling than people think, which we'll really get to see what Anthony Weaver has got in store for them.
You see, Doll fans, we don't have to panic. Everything's going to be fine, okay?
Okay, well,
things are looking good on paper, okay? But on paper, at least we've got it.
I would also say defensive tackle is a pretty significant concern, because you look at the guys that they've brought in to replace him. I mean, we mentioned Benito Jones. He's probably a 30 to 35 snap guy as a nose tackle, maybe a little bit more. Then it's Jonathan Harris and Neville Gallimore, who are going to basically eat up most of those snaps. Again, if they get playmakers from other spots on the defensive line in their back seven, those guys, if they can just hold their own, that's fine. But I mean, you're losing, was it 9 sacks from Wilkins, a million quarterback hits and pressures. He was so disruptive up the middle that they're going to lose some of that. Certainly Sealer's a fine player, but there's a reason one got $27.5 million and one got $10 million. So there's certainly a difference there. So that to me is my concern on defense.
Sure. I think, you know, there's a lot of chatter this week about Connor Williams. I know his agent had, you know, spoken out a little bit, saying, you know, he's very focused on, you know, rehabbing his ACL, and it's, you know, a very serious injury, and it, you know, it's taking longer and things like that. So where do you see us, you know, looking as far as, you know, are we going to be looking to draft a center? You think we're going to be, you know, able to re-sign Connor Williams, or will he sign elsewhere? Will he not sign at all? Like, what do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, I mean, there's a real possibility his career is over. I mean, which would be unfortunate, and certainly because he kind of foresaw this. We talked about this, and how he wanted to get that extension done before the season in case something like this would happen. Well, it's happened. So it's, you know, it's very unfortunate for him on a personal level. From a team standpoint, I think they're going to be okay because of the Aaron Brewer signing. Brewer, if they don't add a pure center, will be their center. If they do add there's a bunch of options in the draft that we can get into, but if they do add a center in the draft, Jackson Powers Johnson's a name you hear a lot. Maybe Graham Barton of Duke. Those are the two that would kind of make the most sense there. Troy Fautano, I think, is more of a guard. I think they would be okay with moving him off of that. But we talked to him this past week, and he's like, I'm a little dude, man. Like, I'm not one of these big old hogs that weighs 330, 340. I think he's like 290 at, you know, soaking wet. So he has the build of a center. So my guess is that's the vision that they have for him. Certainly, if they can add a you know, Pro Bowl level center and move him to guard, that makes the line very good as well. But I think the center position is the one that I'm not really concerned about. It's what do they do with the other two guard spots? Mm-hmm. And they have some options, certainly. I mean, I mentioned Isaiah Wynn's coming back. He seems to have, I wouldn't say a lock on, but certainly a good chance to win the left guard job. Mm-hmm. And then you have a million guys competing for that right guard spot, including someone who might not even be on the team yet, right? I mean, they could go and draft somebody in the first or second rounds. This is an historically deep draft for offensive line, which I think is part of the reason there hasn't been a more concerted effort to address that. Think about this, though, Allie, though, is that if you draft an offensive lineman, you miss out on all these wide receivers, and it's a great wide receiver class, too. And we can get into a minute about how the Dolphins got a firsthand look today, Wednesday, at one of those potential first-round picks. Greer has been a guy who's always wanted to build from the inside out, want to fortify those trenches, and they have some serious concerns on the interior offensive and interior defensive lines. And I think they're going to think long and hard about adding to those positions in the draft. Now, if there's just a value they can't pass up at a different position, they'll go that way in round one, and hopefully they can make up for it in round two. It kind of sucks for them that they don't have that third round pick.
Yeah.
Trying to remember, there's so many trades they've had. Maybe that was a Jalen Ramsey trade where they lost that third rounder. So that's going to hurt them for sure. And I think we talked about this before. This isn't a super deep draft either. So they have, what is it, how many picks? 158. Four on day three. 158, 184, 198, and 241. And if they get anything out of one of those four picks, they're doing good work with as thin as this draft is. Look, they've lost out. This draft's lost out on a lot because of NIL. If you're a rising senior and you're going to take a pay cut to go to the NFL because you're making so much money in college, you can understand why that they're waiting until their eligibility is run out to go to the pros.
Oh, wow. That's something I didn't really actually think about. So, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we have a lot of draft talk coming up in the future, a lot more about that. So where do we stand as far as cap space? We're looking much better now.
Yeah. One more point on the draft before we move on. Today's Wednesday when we're taping this, March 20th. Mike McDaniel is not in South Florida. He's not on vacation either. He is in the heart of Texas, in Austin, Texas. University of Texas had their pro day today. And it's funny because there's three potential targets for the Dolphins in round one. The two wide receivers, Xavier Worthy, which is a name that some might know because he just 3 weeks ago broke the combine record for fastest 40 ever.
Yeah.
4.21 seconds, the fastest official time in the 40-yard dash at the combine. Just think about adding that potential speed to a group of wide receivers that already has Tyreek Hill, already has Jalen Waddle, already has Devon Achane. Obviously, he's not a wide receiver, but he's a pass-catching running back. Already has Raheem Mostert. Those five would beat a lot of 4x100 relay teams. Certainly 4x400 probably relay teams out there. Maybe not win the gold, but they wouldn't finish in the bottom of their heat either. And they're all in the Miami Dolphins, and potentially Worthy is too. So that's pretty cool. Something to look at.
That's exciting. I think I wore the right shirt today.
Look at that. Look who's speed. On there?
I think this is Tyreek.
There is Tyreek. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, hey, we love our fast boys. Let's add one more.
So yeah. And if they don't go with the speed, A.D.A. Mitchell is the other wide receiver that Texas has, is a bigger target. I think he had 11 touchdowns on 55 catches. So one touchdown every five catches is bananas. And there's one defensive player that the Dolphins would probably be looking at in round one. That's a defensive tackle. We mentioned the need there, Byron Murphy. Although I am curious, would Mike McDaniel go the whole way to Texas to look at a defensive player? Probably send Anthony Weaver.
I'm not feeling that.
Probably send Anthony Weaver for that. So I think wide receiver is definitely on the board in round one. I don't think it's the most likely, but it's certainly a possibility.
Interesting. Okay. I guess we'll find out pretty soon.
Yeah, not far off. You asked about cap space. It really depends on who you ask at this point. The good news for the Dolphins is they haven't yet adjusted Tyreek Hill's contract. So, and that would be the biggest relief that they can get. Certainly he's had some off-field issues, a number of off-field issues. I don't know if they'd want to put more money, guarantee more money to a player that's had some concerns. The league, I asked them about the most recent incident, police were summoned to his house about a dispute between he and his wife. The league didn't have any comment, which tells me that maybe they're looking into this. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that there's, you know, at some point some punishment for Tyreek. He's had a number of these off the field incidents. So, you know, it wouldn't, you know, wouldn't surprise me at all if they're kind of dragging their feet on giving him more money or kicking the can down the road, because, I mean, there's nobody wants to think about this, obviously, but there is, if they need to, an out after this year, if they don't adjust this contract. Right now they have, they're obviously they're on the right side of the cap. The NFLPA has them as just $1.2 million of cap space. I don't know how current that is over the cap, and Spotrac both have them at around $10 million. Look, what they need is enough money to have an emergency fund in case something like last year happens, Jalen Ramsey gets hurt, mm-hmm. enough money to pay their draft picks. And, you know, if there's one or two other key free agents after the draft that they want to go target to go spend on that, they probably have somewhere between $20 and $25 million in the bank budgeted to do those three things. So I don't think right now the cap is a big concern of, you know, every other team. I mean, there's some teams with cap space still too, but most every other team has made their big expenditures. So I think the Dolphins have some kind of parity with the rest of the league if they do want to go make a move.
Interesting. So, you know, we covered the Dolphins, you know, all the ins and outs and ups and downs and all the things. So what if we talked about, you know, our rivals in the AFC East?
What are you asking me here, Allie?
You know, I had seen some things on Twitter today that they think that the Jets are better than the Dolphins and the Bills now. And, you know, obviously the fans don't take that type of thing very lightly. So, you know, suppose we broke it down a little bit as far as like how the Jets did and, you know, Patriots and Bills in the offseason.
Yeah. So, it's funny. Did that trigger you, or did it anger you when you saw?
Yeah, it did. It did. I saw it in the bathroom at work, and I'm like, "What?"
They had newspapers plastered to the bathroom wall. Your office.
I might have taken my phone in there.
I gotcha. You're killing some time, so to speak. Well, look, the Dolphins. You know, we spent a fair amount of time the last 2 weeks talking about their turnover. I still think that they're no worse than they were last year, and in a lot of positions better. But the one position they're certainly worse at right now is defensive tackle, and maybe probably interior offensive line, although I don't think the book's been written on both those positions yet. But even with all that said, they've gotten pretty good reviews. Pro Football Focus does war wins over replacement, and that basically, like, the players they've gained, the players they've lost, is this a better team? Mm-hmm. And they're essentially the same team as last year, even before the draft. They have them as a plus 0.1 war after all the moves they made. So what we saw last year, we can, you know, they may not have made the leap to be a Super Bowl contender, but they've certainly, you know, they were an AFC East contender to the last minute of the season. Yeah. So I think
even
you can
without
expect
Aaron Rodgers, you know, they were still what 7-10, like that. They still.
Oh no, we're talking Dolphins right now. So,
oh, you're talking about the Dolphins. Okay.
Yeah. So I think there's reason to believe the Dolphins will still be in there. I think we gave them a B minus. Yeah. Others have given them B plus in free agency. Hasn't been great, but hasn't been terrible either. You know who it has been terrible for? The Buffalo Bills. Okay, you ready? Like, I know their fans
get salty. We hate them.
I know their fans get salty and they think, you know, oh, we just got rid of a bunch of dead weight, old players, expiring contracts, overpaid, all these things. Well, maybe not, because here's who they've added. Wide receiver Curtis Samuel, fine player. He's not difference maker. He's fine. Mitch Trubisky's a backup quarterback. Cam Lewis, cornerback. Nicholas Morrow, a linebacker, Mac Hollins, which we know down here, and Casey,
our old friend,
and Casey Toolhill. None of those names really leap off the page, mm-hmm. considering who they lost. And they've lost a long list of players, some to the Dolphins. Cornerback Dane Jackson, running back Nyheim Hines, that's hard for me to say. Defensive tackle Tim Settle, wide receiver Gabe Davis. A lot of these cornerstone names, Mitch Morris, their leader on the offensive line, their center, Puna Ford, who's a good defensive lineman for them. Saran Neal, Jordan Poyer is down here. Trent Sherfield, who we had for a minute as well. Tyrell Dodson and Leonard Floyd. And they still have three more outstanding free agents, Micah Hyde, Deontay Hardy, and Jordan Phillips. So you look at their roster, and they, without question, gotten worse. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the draft capital the Dolphins do either. So they've lost half a win, basically, according to PFF. And their grades, C, B minus, in that range for how their free agency is going when you look at the different websites. The Patriots, we're not worried about them, right? They are still years and years and years away from competing. They're probably going to be draft a quarterback. Maybe that quarterback gets hot, but even still, the rest of their roster is so bad that I don't see a way that they can compete. The names they've added.
Jacoby Brissett at quarterback.
What's that?
With Jacoby Brissett at quarterback.
he probably won't be the end-of-year starter. He might start the year as their QB1, but they're going to draft someone. We'll see which of the three they end up with, the top three in the draft. But Mac Jones is gone. Devontae Parker is gone. Jalen Mills is gone. Mike Gesicki, another name we know, is gone. Trent Brown, Chris Board, and Farrell Brown. They've added, you mentioned Brissett, Antonio Gibson, Nick Leverett, Chucky Okafor, Armon Watts, KJ Osborne, which is a pretty good pickup, I would say, Austin Hooper, and Sione Takitaki. And they still have a handful of guys that are free agents as well. They got slightly worse, but they probably just tread water too, and they're a year or two away from even making any noise. A team that is totally gearing up to compete this year, and you mentioned it earlier, is the New York Jets. And they might be the one that you have to worry the most about from the Dolphins. Oh, you don't love that at all, do you?
No, I don't like that.
Yeah, MetLife Takeover might have an added edge to it this year because I think the Jets, look, we don't know what Aaron Rodgers has left, right? We don't know what that offense would have looked like last year. I can guarantee you it would have looked better than it did with Zach Wilson, right? So at the very least, you know the offense is going to be a little bit better. The offensive line, they've made some moves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they added two new starting tackles, traded for Morgan Moses, signed Tyron Smith. And John Simpson is another under-the-radar signing they've made as well on the offensive line. That line could be pretty good. A couple of defensive tackles, Javon Kinlaw and Leki Fotu. And they've got a real backup quarterback now on Tyrod Taylor. The players that they've lost, Bryce Hall's an okay player. Jordan Whitehead's, you know, he's getting up there in age. Bryce Huff, Quentin Jefferson, these aren't names you're worried about. And then players that are still free agent, Laken Tomlinson and Mekhi Becton, two offensive linemen that I think they've upgraded over. Carl Lawson, who wasn't the same after his Achilles tear. And Dwayne Brown is another offensive lineman. So I think the Jets have made some real moves. And if you look, their WAR is plus 1.5, according to PFF. So not even considering their quarterback, like they're a better team than they were last year, and they haven't even gotten to the draft yet. So, kind of putting a bow on this topic, I think the AFC East will be far more competitive than it was last year. I think the Patriots will be better. I don't know how much better they'll be, but, Mac Jones was awful, so Jacoby Brissett can't be any worse than that. So I think they'll be a little better, and the Bills will be a little worse, I think. But I think the Jets, I can't believe I'm saying this, have a real chance to compete for that division title. They've made some smart moves. Certainly, their window is now, right? Aaron Rodgers is on the wrong side of 40, coming off an Achilles. They know that there's only so many snaps left he's got in his body. They're going for it. And it might be a little bit like the Dolphins were last year, that they have so much talent that they're going to be in it now, I think, for the duration. Should be fun. Should be fascinating.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, the AFC East is usually pretty tight. So I guess, here we go again. Just shuffle them up around a little bit. And, luckily we don't have to worry about the Patriots too much. Hopefully they come out and surprise us. So at least we can, toss them to the bottom a little bit.
So how many of these road trips are you going to go to this year?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. It's all depending on the schedule. Once the schedule comes out, that's when I start putting in all my PTO and planning my trips. And, I really have my eye on Seattle and Green Bay. And, I haven't been to Patriots home games. I got to do that trip. And I just don't want to go to Foxborough. I really don't want to go there, but I feel like it's one of those things I have to do,
Hopefully it's September and not January, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, obviously I'm hoping that's, an early game. So yeah, there's a lot of trips that I have in mind, but it's, it's all dependent on what becomes feasible for my schedule and my crazy.
I think they're back in LA. Aren't they back in LA again this year too?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, they are. So we'll see. I definitely want to get out west, but that takes a couple days. You know, with the kids being in school, it's difficult, you know, to get all those days off. And I have to rely on my parents a lot to help. And they're not always so thrilled about it. So we'll see how it pans out for me.
Yeah, they're like, all right, we helped you get fan of the year. Our sacrifice ended, okay? You've gotten what you need. Now it's time for...
We have battled over this very topic. Like, how long do you expect that we're going to have to watch the kids every weekend for you? Like, at what point are you going to start bringing the kids to the games? And I'm like, Mom, like, you just have to understand, like, the way that it is at the games, like, it's just so busy. So many people talking. I have to pay attention, you know, like, all these different things. So We've really battled it out, my parents and I, but we're getting to an understanding. So hopefully I can ease up on them a little bit this year and get the kids to some games.
How old?
6 and 7. So they're getting to the point now where they can, you know, entertain
themselves. Yeah. I got a 6-year-old. I don't know. Just the kind of hostile vibe there might be at times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know if I'd want to subject a 6-year-old to that, particularly if I'm wearing an orange or aqua wig, right? I mean, that's talk about having
they're
a target on your back.
My kids are used to it. Like, they're used to the whole, you know, the watch party atmosphere. And, you know, they did go to a game last year and they went to a preseason game. But it is definitely, you know, my son that is the challenge. You know, he's my younger one and he's not as patient. You know, he's got autism. So there's like a lot of different things going on. Like, we got to be careful about noises and, startling him and all different things. So it's just one of those things. I'm really not rushing. I'm just not.
Again, that's why you have grandparents, right?
Yes, right? They push so hard for you to have kids. And then when you're like throwing those kids back at them, they're like, no, we don't want it.
Yeah. Believe me, I know exactly how that is. Oh, well, I'm abandoning my family next week to go to Orlando for two nights, 3 days.
Okay.
The NFL owners meetings. We will get 30 minutes, I think, with Mike McDaniel on Monday.
Okay.
Not sure yet if we get time with Chris Greer. TBD, we haven't talked to Steve Ross at this thing for a minute, so maybe he makes himself available. But we'll have some more answers on where the Dolphins are headed and kind of a clear view of the bow on free agency and really turn the page of the draft. So every week we got something to talk about, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we do, no matter what.
All right, well, let's put a bow on this one and say everyone have a great weekend, and we'll get back at it next Wednesday.
Let's get it. Go Dolphins!